Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll begin with reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 6, Text 47. And then I've been requested, I'm reading Text 5 of Dhammadharashtakam. And Prabhu has asked me to speak about Prabhupada Krishna Balaram Mandir here in Vrindavan and something on Kartik. So I'll do what I can. We'll start with the verse. Yad garhastyam tu samviksya Saptadvipavatipati Vishmita Stambamajahat Sarvaboma Shriyanvitam Yad, he whose Garhastyam, family life, householder life, to but samviksya, observing saptadvipa vati pati mandata, who was the king of the entire world consisting of seven islands, vismitaha, was struck with wonder, stambam, pride due to a prestigious position. Ajahat, he gave up. Sarvaboma, the emperor of the entire world. Suya Anvitam, blessed with all kinds of opulence. Purport. Oh, I'm sorry, translation. Mandata, the king of the entire world, consisting of seven islands, was struck with wonder when he saw the household opulence of Sabara Muni. Thus he gave up his false prestige in his position as emperor of the world. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Everyone is proud of his own position. But there was an outstanding experience in which the emperor of the entire world felt himself defeated in all details of material happiness by the opulence of Sabara Muni. Omagina tumirandasya ganantina salakaya Chakshurlan militam jaina tasmai sri gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya manobistam stapitam jaina bhutale svayarupa kadamayam tadati svapatandikam vanchakalpa turubhyascha kripa sindubhya vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So, thank you everyone giving me this opportunity. I take all of your dust at your feet. Pride. Rama says, everyone is proud of his position. One of the very first things, when I met Srila Prabhupada, of course, I took initiation from him in July 1971 in New York. But I had no personal contact with him. Thank you. But then in 1972, this was 1 year after I had moved into a temple in New Vrindavan, Prabhupada called for Kirtananda Swami to come to Los Angeles. So Maharaj, along with myself and Kaladri, we drove across country in a van to Los Angeles. So there I got to be in Prabhupada's garden every afternoon and reading Krishna book. But more than that, it was just sitting before Prabhupada, because he would just say just a few words, sometimes just a sentence. But everything he said was just overwhelming. It was profound and simple. So one of those times, he sat there. He would sit, he had the trellis over him, his garden in New Dwarka. And it was just four or five devotees in front of him, all very young, like myself. But that particular day, you would just wait. Prabhupada would come in, we'd offer our obeisances, and you sit. Everything was, you followed his lead. If he was chanting, then we all just chanted on our beads. And you'd wait. So the one were sitting, and then he just sat and pushed his chest out. It said, Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He said, we're proud to be servants of Krishna. He said, that's our pride. We always speak humble, humble, humble. Huh? Devotee, humble, humble. But now Prabhupada did the exact opposite. He just pushed out his chest. He said, we're proud to be servants of Krishna. He said, that's our pride. He said, Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He said, everyone is serving. Serving their dogs, serving their families, serving their boss. He said, but we're serving Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, that's our pride. Huh? So we have pride. Out of everyone, here we are in Vrindavan during Kartik. I was just talking to my godbrother. He overheard me. He was asking for Pankajangru Prabhu. I said, I'm just moving to Vrindavan. I said, please give me your blessings. Later, Guru Kripa Prabhu said, what blessings? He said, you're in Vrindavan. What more blessings do you want? Huh? If you're here, you have blessings. Prabhupada would always say that. Everyone's always asking, give me your blessings, give me your blessings. Prabhupada would say, blessings are there. Sunshine is there. You just have to step into the sunshine. He's given everything what to do. But we do have pride. Pride is okay. It just has to be applied. Very happy being servants of Krishna. So that was one of the first things I learned. I was just new devotee. And then after saying that, he looked at me. He said, we don't care. He said, Krishna may be God, maybe he's not God. He said, we just love him. So we went from the one position, which is what Prabhupada would do. He always liked to unseat you. Take that solid ground you were on. He did it with me all the time. Whatever you'd say black, he'd say blue. You'd say Maya, he'd say Krishna. When the music was coming out of Air India, we're sitting there waiting for the plane to take off. Tabla, sitar, very beautiful. He looked at me, he said, do you like this music? So of course I became frightened. Many of his questions, there were always trick questions, because whatever you would say, he would say the opposite. But me, being the cowardly person I was, I just looked and hesitated. I'm thinking, what do I say? I like it, I don't like it. He looked at me, he said, it's very nice. I said, yes, Prabhupada. But he did that with other devotees as well. He did the exact same thing. Do you like this music? He said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, it's sense gratification music. He would always, whatever your position, you're wrong. Huh? That day he said, I'm supposed to read. Verse 5. We can chant together. Idam te mukambojam anyanta nilaya ritam kuntalai snigda raktas chakopya muhas chambitam bimba rakta daram me manasya virastam alam lakshila bhai. We have the O Lord, Your lotus face, which is encircled by locks of soft black hair tinged with red, is kissed again and again by Mother Yasoda. And your lips are reddish like the bimba fruit. May this beautiful vision of your lotus face be ever manifest in my heart. Thousands and thousands of other benedictions are of no use to me. Has anyone seen a bimba fruit? I did about an hour ago. I Googled. It's very red. It's a very red fruit, huh? So here's the description. This little baby Krishna. Lips are very red, but the description is also his mother kissing him, making his cheeks reddish. So there, that same time in Vrindavan, in Los Angeles, Prabhupada looking at us. Here's the description. He said, so what color is Krishna? Another. Prabhupada asks you a question. First thing you do is just go quiet. No one answers quickly. Again, he's going to do something. You know, this was always the joy in being with Prabhupada, is seeing how he played with his disciples. Like children, he toyed with us with a straight face. You know, sometimes, most of the time, you didn't know he was joking on you. So, what color is Krishna? He asked five of us. The devotee raised his hand. Prabhupada, it's described in Krishna book. He's blackish, like the rain cloud. Prabhupada, and if you would have said the opposite, he was blue, he probably would have said, no, he's blackish. But he said he's black like the rain cloud. He said he's blue like the sky. He said the sky is blue because it's reflection of Krishna's bodily effulgence. This is how Prabhupada allowed us to see Krishna so easily. Who can't look at the sky? Here it's pretty bluish today. I came from Hawaii. It was very, very blue, beautiful blue. So Prabhupada's saying, he's blue like the sky. But more than that, we're seeing Krishna's effulgence. So he was always so simple. He made seeing Krishna so easy. I would bring him his jasmine every night when I massaged him. He would just stick it right at his nose. He would lie on the pillow and put it on the pillow. So every breath, he was breathing in the jasmine, scent of jasmine, night jasmine. And I'm massaging. He goes, this is Krishna. Krishna. You want to see Krishna? It's very simple. I just read he was talking about milk. Describes Krishna as like milk. You have milk. You can make thousands of preparations. Cheese, huh? We have buttermilk. We have ghee. We have creams. So many different things. And then from them you make, as Prabhupada said, so many milk sweets. Bengali milk sweets, Prabhupada was very fond of. But the source of everything is just the milk. Everything comes from milk. So in the same way, he says, everything you see is coming from Krishna. It's all Krishna. I first came here with Prabhupada, 1972. I came here this year, the 13th of October, I arrived the first day of Kartik in Vrindavan. So 47 years ago, I came to Vrindavan with Prabhupada for Kartik. And I had no idea. I was born and raised in big city, Philadelphia. From there, I was on a farm for a year. And then Prabhupada picked me up from New Vrindavan. And 1 month later, we were right here, well, at Radha Damodar Temple, just over there. 1 month later, we spent 2 weeks in Los Angeles. I was learning how to do everything. I was cooking for Prabhupada. He spent 2 days showing me how to use the cooker, the very special cooker. It's not the cooker that's in his quarters here. It's the one you see in the photographs, and it's right now it's held by Dina Tarini. I said that that cooker was my best friend when I traveled with Prabhupada, because it made everything easy. When I got to Vrindavan, Radha Damodar Temple, after being very busy for a month cooking, massaging, answering the bell, going to classes, I learned there too, before becoming his servant. When you were with Prabhupada, if he was somewhere, you were there. You never missed a class. Don't miss a class. You didn't miss morning walk. Immediately, where is, he would say, where is? And he knew where we were. Sleeping. So within days, Radha Damodar rings the bell. Where are the others? They were known as the others. Secretary, Sanskrit editor. I said, resting, Prabhupada. Call them. We did this every few months. We had a calling. You know, everybody has to come to Mangalarti. Prabhupada said, what are you doing? He said, why are you sleeping? There's nothing you can say. He said, rising early and taking cold bath, he said, is not an austerity. He said, it's common sense. He said, it's good for you. He said, and you do that. He said, you rise early, take morning bath. He said, chant your rounds. He said, in 12 years, whatever you say will be perfect. And then he said, okay, go. He would send us on our way. But something very special happened in Vrindavan that I had no idea. I didn't have to cook for Prabhupada, which for me was, it was a relief, because it was very difficult. You're massaging him, and the whole time, the cooker's cooking. Anyway, it was difficult. But Jamuna was in Vrindavan at Radha Damodar Temple, right there. And she basically was in the kitchen all the time, making Prabhupada, cooking Prabhupada's, he was preparing his breakfast, his lunch, evening. So I met her for the first time. And of course, it was very wonderful. I had heard about Jamuna and Guru Das. And I just saw her in the kitchen, sitting on the floor, little bucket stove, with cow dung, you know, some coal underneath, cow dung for the chapatis and things. It was wonderful. And no one said anything to me, but she was cooking. So now I'm just sitting on the veranda between the two rooms, chanting. And I had just come to Vrindavan. Imagine, Prabhupada brought me right here for Kartik, my first time. So I'm wandering around Radha Damodar Temple, looking through this way, that way. And then I just opened up the door to Prabhupada's, the kitchen, where he did his translating work. And he looked at me. He said, have you eaten? I said, no, Prabhupada. I said, I just showered. He says, come, sit down. He said, Jamuna, make him a plate. I said, no, Prabhupada. I said, I'll eat with my godbrother. He said, no, come, sit, take prasadam. Come. Yes, Prabhupada. I learned, don't disagree with your guru. If he asks you to do something, you have to do it. Even if he's giving you something, it's an offense not to accept. And I became very easily accepting whatever Prabhupada offered me. I didn't offer resistance often. So finally I said yes. And I sat right down next to Prabhupada. He was on his little seat, chokhi, table in front of him, his plate on it. And immediately, Jamuna, expert. We don't need the Jamuna, expert. So she gets a thali, a little katuris, just a little bit in each one. As Prabhupada told me, first instruction, do not put too much on my plate or my appetite will go. He says, little bit, and if I want, I'll ask for more. So now she put my plate. So I just sat down. There were no ceremonies or any. Prabhupada's just taking prasadam. Now he's never speaking during prasadam. Prabhupada honored prasadam. And now I'm trying to do the same. And I start tasting these preparations. And I thought, oh my, I realized that I didn't know how to cook. I'm cooking for Prabhupada every day. And he's eating it. But now I tasted prasadam right from Radharani's hands, it seemed. So I'm, of course, enjoying. I'm 21 years old. I'm eating and eating, and she's serving and serving Prabhupada and bringing fresh hot chapatis, puffed up, ghee on the top, still puffed up. So then, after 15 minutes or so, we're both finished. Right there. Prabhupada said that was the center of the spiritual world. He said because Krishna consciousness movement started there. And for some reason, it never happened again. He invited me for lunch. So then we're finishing and Prabhupada looked at me. He said, oh, he said, did you like it? Oh, yes, Prabhupada, very much. He said, good, so today she has served you, so tomorrow you cook for her. So this is what you learn. Anyway, it's some of the things I tried to learn while I was with Srila Prabhupada. So how the dealings with one another, how Prabhupada dealt with us, and how he expected us to deal with each other. I was very happily sitting there, like, oh, it's the king of the world, eating wonderful food next to Prabhupada. What could be better? And immediately he set me straight. Huh? See, this is the other side of pride. This is the kind of proud you don't want to become. So then that evening, Prabhupada speaking, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he went to Vrindavan for Kartik to speak to his disciples. On the way on the plane, he said, he was thinking 2 weeks before he got there, he said, we're going to Vrindavan for Kartik. I didn't even know what Kartik was. It didn't mean anything to me. But we're going to Vrindavan. He said, so I'll be reading from the Nectar of Devotion. Well, he said, you read. He said, you'll be reading. He said, I'll stop you and give comments. He said, and I'll be speaking in English. He said, for my disciples. Not that he was going there to entertain the local community. It was, everything was about his disciples. And it was about showing off his disciples to the locals, the Brijbasis, all the pilgrims that were coming. He wanted to show them Lord Chaitanya's movement, what had happened, what he had accomplished. Prabhupada was proud. He was proud of his disciples. With us, he didn't often show such pride. He would say we were nonsense, rascals, maleches. He called me many different things besides a devotee. Nonsense, rascal, malecha. He said, you're a Brahmin. He said, how could you do this? Malecha. But then he would see the locals. He would say, these devotees, he said, they're pure devotees. They've given up everything for Krishna. Yes. He used everything for Krishna, whatever he had to do, whatever he had to say, if he could bring someone closer. And where did he start reading from? Nectar of Devotion. Huh? The introduction. He didn't dive into the... He just started with the introduction, the preface, and he went on that way. So many times in his room, he would say, we'll read. Reading was what it was about. Coming to Vrindavan. It's very nice. We go on pilgrimage, we go on padyatras, we go here, we go here. But the goal is to sit down and hear. What is our business? It's to hear. It's to hear about Krishna. To make some progress. Not just for the body, keep healthy and all. But no, we have to hear properly. Every day, Prabhupada gave Bhagavatam class, he gave Nectar Devotion class. And you be there, and you hear. And then you go back to where you came from and you preach because you've become purified in this place. That's our business here. So he wanted this kind of gathering. Everyone here hearing about Krishna, hearing the glorious pastimes of the Lord. Huh? Roaming around is nice, but our business is to hear. Hear nicely. So that afternoon, so my business, I would record the class on the Ur tape recorder, German tape recorder, weighed like 10, 15 pounds, all metal. And this particular day, the first day, I'm fanning Prabhupada with the chamara fan, just like every day we do it here. Every time I do Guru Puja Artik, I always think of my fanning Prabhupada so nicely. So he's giving class, he's speaking. There's almost 50 devotees there. It was a huge festival. 1972. People from all over Europe and America were there. And Prabhupada's speaking. And Prajumna's doing the speaking from the Nectar of Devotion. And Prabhupada would comment. And I'm fanning him. But I'm not really fanning him. I'm doing an artik, you know. Because it's 6 o'clock. Birds, parrots are flying into the trees and the monkeys are shaking the trees. It's Vrindavan, but flies. There was flies, we say with flies in the ointment. There was a flies there. But I'm fanning him with the fan, which is used for what? To get the flies away. Prabhupada literally had a fly on his nose and I saw it and I'm going, I guess, and he's speaking. But finally, he got frustrated with me. Right in the middle of a sentence, he said, "Get someone up here with some intelligence." How's that for pride? And boom, that's what Prabhupada would do. He sees you're proud. If you're fortunate, he'll smash you. So, somebody came up. British brahmachari, very tall, known as an eccentric. He grabbed it out of my hand. No flair, just grabbed it. You know. So I went back to the tape recorder. I saw a picture of me actually looking at the tape recorder. I just saw it yesterday. Because I'm trying to still hold on to a little bit of pride. You know, I mean, after all, we're proud. And I'm Prabhupada's servant. So I'm... But I'm what he said in front of everyone. And I'm sitting and I'm playing with knobs, even though I didn't have to. And he gets the fan, and it was ridiculous. He just, and he's. But the flies, there were no flies anywhere to be seen. Now I'm sitting, and then Prabhupada's speaking. No, he said, Prabhupada, he multitask. He's speaking, and as he's speaking, he just looks at him. Shook his head in great appreciation. So now I was this big. And I just keep... So still, he saw some pride was there. So he had to do it, you know, double down. We say double down. He had to do it again. That got me, that one. That was it. I just put my head down. And class went on, and then he got up and left, and I would always walk beside him back to his room. But this time I was behind him. I was like 10 steps behind him. I was devastated. And a god brother came up to me telling me, "You're so fortunate, Shruta," he said. "Prabhupada chastising you." I said, "Yes, yes, very nice." So that was, he did what he needed to do to help us all the time in any situation. He was sitting there one day. I had just come back, this was 74. So I had just joined him after being away for 8 months. I got married. It's by his mercy, I was back with him again. So we came here. But now I was a grahasta, somehow or other, had a little money. I didn't have razor blades anymore. I had electric shaver. So we're sitting in class one day, and Prabhupada's talking, and he starts talking Ugra Karma. He says, just like we can shave very nicely with a blade. He said, but no. He said, now we need electric, he said, to shave the face. He says, and it's making so much noise, telling me. In a class, he's chastising me in the class that I was making noise in his room. He never called me in, he called me out, right in the class. He says, no, we have to use electric. He says, and then if there's no electricity, what? You can't shave. The electricity, the shaver breaks, you can't shave. He said, this is business in the material world. So that time, that was 74 when I came back with Prabhupada. Brahmananda was his secretary. He's the one who invited me back at New Vrindavan. He said, do you want to be Prabhupada's servant again? Because his servant, Satsrup Maharaj, had just left after 6 months or so. So I was living again at New Vrindavan. But Prabhupada, I had gone around the world with him twice in 16 months. And I went back to New Vrindavan and he picked me up there. So now I'm sitting there in New Vrindavan and offered this opportunity to come to India. India and I, we didn't get along very much at all. I was always ill. It's amazing how things happen. 47 years later, somehow or other, I've actually moved to Vrindavan. Plan on traveling some, but I would never think of such a thing decades ago. Somehow or other, Krishna's forced very nice situation, so I'm here. So, join Prabhupada again. I thought, New Vrindavan on the farm. Just like we talk about Varnashram, Prabhupada said 50% of my work has not been finished. Which Varnashram doesn't mean just farms, it means the whole society. But we always think of farms. When I left Prabhupada, Kirtanananda Swami wrote, please send Shruta Kirti back to New Vrindavan, to the farm. See, Prabhupada always knew how to deal with everyone. So Prabhupada called me into the room. He didn't say, Kirtananda Swami wants you to go to New Vrindavan, get a ticket, you should go. He looked at me, he said, so, he knew me. He said, so Kirtananda Swami wants you to come back, to go back to New Vrindavan. He said, so? I said, oh, Prabhupada, I've made arrangements with Chiksukananda. I'm going to Caracas, Venezuela. I had no intention of going to the farm, you know, to New Vrindavan. And he knew that. And he didn't say, go to New Vrindavan. He never told me to do anything. He would always ask me. Even massage. Imagine, they're spending thousands of dollars just sending me around the world with him. He would call me in the room and say, can you give me massage now? I say, Prabhupada, I'm sitting in my room just waiting. But that was how he did it. So while being here, of course he got very ill, 1974, August, September. It's when 24-hour kirtan started. And again, Daiva Shakti, she was here at that time. Jamuna was here. Palika was here. And Prabhupada wasn't eating. He was eating sometimes a piece of orange. He would just take the juice out of an orange. So we were in great concern. Kirtan was going on all over the world. I was literally carrying him to the bathroom. My hands under his arms would have to bring him everywhere. And one evening, he rang his bell. The bed was right where it is now, in the sitting room. And I went in and he said, so he said, I'm feeling little appetite. He said, you can make me some upma. So that was wonderful. And immediately I said, Prabhupada, I said, Jamuna's here. I said, I'll tell her. He said, no. He said, I want you to make it. He said, I like your upma. I said, yes, Prabhupada. So I went out, opened the doors, and as soon as you open the door, you have faces right on the other side. And Jamuna is, everyone's listening.
Every syllable Prabhupada spoke, we wanted to hear it. See, it's all about hearing. You can go see everything you want, but if you're not hearing, what good is your seeing? What are you seeing? Prabhupada taught us how to see by listening, by hearing him, by reading his books. It's all hearing. So I went in. What does Prabhupada say? I said, Jamuna, I said, Prabhupada asked for Upma. So she was delighted. She said, I'll start right away. I said, Jamuna. I said, he wanted me to make it. I said, he likes my Upma. She said, oh, okay. She said, what do you need me to do? See, this is devotee. This is a devotee. No false pride. She was the greatest cook in the movement. But as soon as I said, Prabhupada wants me to do it. Okay, how can I help? This is our business. Whatever we can do. However we can serve. So that's what she did. We didn't have anything. We had suji. We had some dried peas. Dried peas in a trunk. We had a trunk with a few things in it. This was 1974. You know, there was nothing there across the street. Nothing. There's nothing anywhere. So we made the upma. I brought it into Prabhupada on a plate, bowl with the upma. Put it down, offer obeisances, go back to the other side of the door. So we're all just standing at the other side of the door. This was life when Prabhupada was here. Prabhupada was in his room, everybody was on the other side of the door. In Los Angeles, I would massage him in the garden. The people would be up in the ashram watching him get massaged. It was one of the special places the ladies would go. Of course, they couldn't. But from there, no one. So everyone, they would just want to see Prabhupada, hear Prabhupada. So he rang the bell after 5 minutes or so. I come in, I offer obeisances. I'm already looking. And he sees me looking. I'm offering obeisances. And I could see he didn't eat. Maybe he took a spoonful or something. It was moved around like a child. You know, just pushed, but there was a lot there. I offered it, I sat up. And immediately looked right at me. He said, I want you to know, it was first class. He said, I thought if you cooked it for me, it would help me get appetite. He said, but I have no appetite. He said, but I want you to know, it was first class. We thought he was leaving us. He hadn't been eating. But his concern was my feelings. That I would be disappointed that he didn't eat anything. I say, and reading Prabhupada's books is everything for us. But you really want to know how Prabhupada did things. You want to understand how the pure devotee treated all of us, his disciples. Inviting me in for lunch. Sit down, have lunch. He gave me everything. He brought me to Vrindavan 47 years ago. He brought all of you here today. Took me 47 years. I've been fighting my entire life. Those of you that know me through the years, I've been married a few times. Every time my wife wanted to live in Vrindavan. And I would never do it. Finally, I surrendered to my wife. I have no choice. She won't live anywhere but Vrindavan. So I finally figured out, I'm supposed to come here. Took me a lifetime to surrender to the idea that I don't have to live in Hawaii by the beach. And Krishna fulfilled that desire. Krishna is very interesting. I find very funny, you know. I went there 1972, 21 years old. I was so-called brahmachari. Then I lived there for 6-7 years. And I always desired Hawaii, live at the beach, nice, all this. So it happened without even considering it. I got to live at the beach a couple years ago, right after I almost died from a seizure. So I found it very funny that he let me be there at the beach when I couldn't do anything anyway. But he fulfilled the desire that was there. And this is what we have to do.
I see this over and over again as devotees are leaving, how Krishna arranges to satisfy your desires, to take away your attachments and your aversions. So we're free to go back home, back to Godhead. And it all comes from hearing from the pure devotee. Tell this one other.
You have anything in Vrindavan here? Story you'd like to hear in Vrindavan before I...
No? No, in particular? Anything in particular?
Pishima was
this. Pishima. Pishima. Prabhupada's sister. Baba Tarini. So I always say everyone loved Pishima. I also loved Pishima. And she loved everyone, but she had difficulty with me because I would stop her from seeing her brother, her big brother. Because Prabhupada would say, she's too much, he said, all the time she wants to be here. He'd say, even she's my sister. But she loved them so much. She'd come in, offer obeisances. She was, you know, this wide, this tall, with the black glasses, and looked just like Prabhupada. It was eerie. And Prabhupada would make fun of his sister. That happened in Calcutta. But here, every day she would come in. He was staying here at that time. Right? Our god sisters flew her from Calcutta. Prabhupada said, how did my sister get here? I said, oh, Prabhupada, some of your disciples, women. He said, they shouldn't be doing that. He said, flying her back and forth. That was another principle. Panchagoda asked me about Prabhupada's management style. I quoted Shruti Rupa from the other day. She said, Prabhupada came into the room. She'd just done the floors, swept and mopped the floors. So she turned the fan on, which we all do, right? Here, you turn the fan on to dry the floors. Prabhupada said, why is the fan on? For the floor. Turn it off. Don't waste Krishna's energy. Just let it dry. When it's dry, it's dry. This was Prabhupada. Everything. Because he saw Krishna. He didn't see material energy. He saw Krishna's energies. Everything's Krishna's energies. And if you're around him, if you hear enough, eventually you have to start to see things that way. Even if you're faking it. You do it. Said on a morning walk after 2 years, just by his association, I've never learned anything, but I learned how he would think sometimes. So on a morning walk in Mexico City in an arboretum, what do you call a nice park? And he stopped, big tall dead tree. And he looks at a dozen of us. Why is this tree dead? So immediately, GBC, sannyasi, Prabhupada is diseased. You'd always get that look. He'd just shake his head. So now everybody knows, okay, what happened? How is Prabhupada? And I'm right next to him. I never tried to answer a question. Because I know you can't say the right answer. Even if you're correct, if you're wrong, he's going to prove you wrong. So then the next one, Prabhupada got old and died. No, so we're going, you know, old age, disease. So what else is there? So I'm right next to him and I'm, all right, Prabhupada. I'm not thinking what I'm thinking, what is he thinking? And I looked at, I said, Prabhupada, I said, the spirit soul's left. It wasn't my answer. It was his answer. But that's our business, is to learn his answers. Huh? Not our, make up our own things. You have to understand. Twice, when he was ill, he was being asked to travel somewhere. Once to London Rath Yatra, once to Kurukshetra, 2 years apart. I was his servant both times. Both times, before his massage at noon, he called in his sannyasi, GBCs,
called them in, six or eight of them. He explained, I'm being offered to go to London for Rathiatra, 1973 Rathiatra. I'm being offered to go to Australia to rest. And he was very sick. So he said to them all, you discuss, all you GBC, you discuss, and this afternoon you can tell me your conclusion. So then, okay, massage. Now I'm massaging Prabhupada. Twice he did this. I'm behind him. So, Srutakirti, what is your opinion? Should I go to Australia and rest? Or should I go to Rathiatra in London? So again, I said, Prabhupada, I said, I think you're going to go to London to the Rathiatra. I didn't tell him what I thought. I told him what I thought he was going to do. And he said, yes. He said, you have proper understanding. He was going to speak amongst thousands of people. So he has his lunch, he takes a nap, he gets up, rings the bell, call them in. So, what have you decided? What did they decide? After being with Prabhupada for so many years, his front line, Prabhupada, go to Australia and rest. He said, they're not learning. There's no time to rest. Prabhupada said, I hate sleep. He said to George Harrison, he said, I hate sleep. It's just a waste of time. He said, there's so much to do. And George said, I hate it too, Prabhupada. He said, yes. He said, it's a big waste of time. He said it to me one day in Mayapur. And then right after he said it, he laid down, pulled the covers over his head, took rest. Very peacefully. But that feeling is there. No resting. 2 years later, he did the same thing. He was in Delhi. And he was ill. They wanted him to go to Kurukshetra. It was amazing. The same thing. He asked me, Prabhupada, you're going to go preach. That's what you do. But he asked his disciples, they still didn't get it. I actually don't know what it is because everything's there. He always says, everything's in my books. But there's something there you have to get from the pure devotee. There's something in that personality that it seems like he didn't reveal it in his books. But I saw it constantly. There wasn't one second to waste in nonsense. Not one moment. Even his friendliness, whatever he did, it was to bring you closer. Just to grab you. He did it so much. He did it all the time with me. I have no choice but to try to do something, even though I have no abilities. But I can see, just his association, it gives us so much. We just have a few minutes left. Anyone has any questions, comments? Anything? Hare Krishna.
No.
He's saying a story about the Brahmin thread. That also occurred here in Vrindavan. Okay, short. I had got Brahmin initiation May 1972, and within a month I lost my thread in New Vrindavan, bathing at 4 o'clock in the morning in the dark at a muddy creek at New Vrindavan. So I went to Chant Gayatri when I was offering the milk sweets before Mangalartik, and there was no thread there. I just washed it off. I was crying. I was in tears. I thought, it's all gone. Prabhupada made me a Brahmin, and now they took it away. So Kirtananda said, no, you're very sincere. He made a thread. But now it was May, June, July, August. 5 months later, I'm Prabhupada's servant. And he tells me he's going to change his Brahmin thread today. He did it every month, right?
So I put the Brahmin thread down. Now I'm already thinking, that thread he takes off, it's mine. It's my new thread, I'll be back.
Imagine I'm his servant. I couldn't speak to him, ask him a question and say, tell him what happened and, you know, do I need to do anything, chant on another thread?
No, I was very underhanded and sneaky. Prabhupada knew that as well. One of the reasons he was always doing things with me. So I was sitting on that veranda between the two rooms and I'm watching him. After he bathes, of course he'd sit down, put on tilak. Very nice. You could just watch Prabhupada. You'd be in ecstasy watching all his movements. No one. And I'm watching from the... And then I see him take the thread. Got both threads together. He's going to send his hands. And oh boy. So then he's done and he starts walking by. So I offer obeisances as he's walking by. And I can see his feet right in front of me. So I lift up and he looks at me. He says, so that Brahmin thread? He said, bury it under the tulsi plant. Because he knew I was going to steal it. I was going to steal all the blessings from it. Yes, Prabhupada. So he went in to eat Jamuna's offering. I ran in the room. I'm not going to listen to him because it wasn't an important instruction. So I grabbed the thread and I go to put it on. And he cut every string. I gave him over 20 Brahmin threads in 2.5 years. He never did it any other time. But this was a special thread. He cut it. But I was not deterred. So I... Six knots, six broken threads. It's a ridiculous idea. But it was Prabhupada's thread, right? Even though it was knotted. And I put it on, happily chanting. But I didn't listen to him. That was 1972. So then, So then how many years went by? I was in Mayapur in, what year was it? 2005. So 30 years later. And I'm on the stage telling Prabhupada stories. My godbrothers are in the audience. So then I sit down and I'm like a dozen seats away from one of my godbrothers. And he's going... So he calls me over. He saw there were a lot of mosquitoes. He had mosquito repellent I put on. And he said, do you know who I am? And I, like many, I knew him, but I didn't remember the name. It was Padmagarbha, right? Padmalochan, in Mayapur. He had been in Mayapur for decades. So I said, yeah, you're Mayapur, right? He said, yeah, Padmalochan. He said, you were here in 1975, right? I said, yes. He said, you were Prabhupada's servant. Yes. He said, do you remember? He said, when I got Brahmin initiation? I said, no. He said, I got Brahmin initiation from Prabhupada in 1975, and you were his servant. He said, and you were sitting outside Prabhupada's room, and I had all the Brahmin threads. It was one of the fun things to do in initiation. You have all the beads around your neck, you know, the chance. You have all the Brahmin threads. You felt, again, pride, you know. You were proud. So I had all these Brahmin threads, but I wasn't doing it properly. So as they would go in the room, Prabhupada would chant in their ear, give them the thread, but I didn't open it up. So this was his first Brahmin thread. So he had the thread and he goes into the room and he's trying to untangle it, but he made a mess. Some of you Brahmins have been through this, where you tangle up, if you don't grab those two little end things, you know. So he didn't, so he made a mess. So at that time, the secretary walked in. So immediately, Padmalochan turned to him and started to ask him for help in fixing his Brahmin thread.
And Prabhupada shouted and said, take it to Shruta Kirti. He knows what to do. This was 1975. So 3 years later, Prabhupada's saying, Shruta knows how to fix Brahmin threads because he fixed mine, you know. But he just said, take it to Shruta Kirti. So he did. And I stuck my finger in it and gave it back to him. But I didn't. He didn't tell me any of these things until 2005. 30 years later. He told me this story of what Prabhupada did to me. How Prabhupada was poking at me. Shruta Kirti, he's very expert at Brahmin threads. He said, let him fix it. But this was 30 years later. So if you're trying to understand, Prabhupada hasn't left any of us. He's right here. You just have to listen. From the very beginning, you have to hear. And if you just quiet down that mind, it lets you know what we're supposed to be doing at any given time. It's all of us. Otherwise, it's not possible for us to be here during Kartik or any time without Prabhupada's blessings. You have his blessings, you're here. Do something with it. That's what Prabhupada said. He told me once, he said, take a stand. This is our business, to take a stand. Just like he's always takes a stand for us, supports us, is loyal, chaste. He's always there. Our business is to return. And then everything comes. Everything will come. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.